Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition. On this week's program, I'd like to revisit a program I did a month ago called The Transgender Worldview. This will be part two. There are some additional points that need to be covered and further reinforcement of previous points. As Paul wrote to the Philippians, to write the same thing again to you is no trouble to me, and it's a safeguard for you. I'm sorry to have to address transgenderism again. You know, if you're like me, I'm sure you're tired of the whole thing. Every day in the news media, there's some new article about transgenderism, especially with this Budweiser controversy over Budweiser using the transgender Dylan Mulvaney to promote their beer. Transgender controversial stories are constantly being run by the media because they get clicks, they get views. But this is also because transgenderism is where the culture war is being fought. The culture war is over God's rule versus man's rule. God's truth versus man's truth. And it's finding its expression in transgenderism. Is society going to agree with God that in the beginning, God made them male and female? Mankind's rebellion against God or fidelity to God are being displayed in the physical world through these moral choices. Transgenderism and LGBTQ draws the line in the sand, shows where everyone is standing, who people choose to be their God. So we shouldn't underestimate or ignore the transgender movement. It's people's choice for or against God. And by explaining the issue in those terms, we have a great opportunity to lead people to Christ. A great opportunity to help people realize what they're choosing and the spiritual choices that must be made in life. In a recent Washington Post article about transgenderism and public opinion, the author quotes Alyssa Wells, age 29, a behavioral therapist in Daytona Beach, Florida. She said her views on transgenderism have changed in recent years as she has learned more, chiefly from Christian podcasts. At first, I was on the side of acceptance, like using the pronouns and stuff, because I want people to be kind to each other. I don't want people fighting all the time, but she has come to see things differently. My concern with transgender is mostly with the children. We can't vote until we're a certain age. We can't smoke or drink or whatever, but we can change our body's anatomy and how it works. It just doesn't seem like that's okay to me. Now, the Washington Post, being a leftist newspaper, was quoting this woman as a negative example of some millennials becoming anti-trans. But, you know, it certainly demonstrates how God's truth can change minds. If all someone listens to is the popular media, the devil's argument for transgenderism, they'll be duped. But the entrance of God's word brings light. It brings understanding to the naive, Psalm 119, 130. It gives sound reasoning and moral clarity. In the book of Jude, which is all about confronting LGBTQ, three groups are described. First, the incorrigible wicked who are marked out for condemnation. Second, the godly who are in the love of God. And the third group is teachable, open to discipleship. And we're told to have mercy on this third group. And a metaphor is given that we need to snatch them out of the fire, save them from the judgment by bringing them over to God. And this is why ministers of the gospel, and all Christians are in a sense ministers of the gospel, we're to speak to this issue of transgenderism. To save people like Alyssa Wells, you know, save them from the 2 Thessalonians 2:10 great deception of wickedness that's going to come upon the whole world. Now, of course, those who believe in transgenderism believe that Christian morality is the great evil deception that has come upon the world. That Christianity is a human construct made up by the powerful to oppress the weak. but isn't that what this is all about? Who is or what is evil? God or Satan? And we would expect that those on the side of the devil, those who believe in man's autonomy, to increasingly teach that God and his moral laws are evil. Why? Because in their humanist worldview, God is not letting man do what man wants to do. God is not letting man be his own God, make his own choices. Now, this Washington Post article was all about a poll done by the Post concerning support for transgenderism in America. And the article is entitled, "Most Americans Support Anti-Trans Policies Favored by the GOP, poll shows." And the poll came up with the same percentages that a lot of other polls are finding. About 60% of Americans are opposed to transgenderism, and about 40% in favor, give or take a few percentage points. In my first program about the transgender worldview, I commented that transgenderism is a huge movement sweeping our country. One listener posted a comment on YouTube, quote, "You said transgender is becoming accepted by the mainstream. I don't know exactly, because look at what has happened to Bud Light after trying to promote their beer with a transgender." Well, I actually read the comments. Let me explain why I do believe transgenderism and LGBTQ is the mainstream majority. I don't have this optimism that the transgender movement is just a fringe minority that's soon going to disappear. When these polls are taken, they often ask people what they believe personally for themselves, not necessarily what they believe the government should require of others. Other polls show that the majority of the public is against LGBTQ anti-transgender laws in America, even though personally they don't practice LGBTQ. Even in this Washington Post poll, the 60% were not against transgenderism. It was 60% in favor of restrictions affecting transgenderism in children. And this brings up the whole issue of LGBTQ allies and supporters. And as is often pointed out, the sin of Sodom was not that everyone was practicing homosexuality, but that the people in the city were homosexual allies. They believed that the public should have the freedom to do what they want to do morally. And Satan doesn't care whether or not someone is practicing morality or immorality, as long as they're doing it on their own terms. As in the satanic motto, "Do what thou wilt." That people should be autonomous from God and should be allowed to do whatever they want, free to pursue their own moral choices, is the ideology of Satan. 95% of Americans could be personally straight, but if they approve of and legally support the immorality of 5%, they're still guilty. In Judges 19, the sin of the tribe of Benjamin was not that all of the Benjamites were like the immoral men of Gibeah, but that all the tribe of Benjamin came to support the immoral freedom of the immoral men of Gibeah. And this is the great error that has swept America and that has convinced politicians to legalize immorality, that the standard of morality is no longer to be the law of God, but human freedom, what the majority wants, or what a vocal minority wants, because the state is supposed to be secular. And God will judge us, not merely by what we do, but by what we believe and support. 1 Timothy 4:22, "Do not share in other men's sins." I had one listener ask me the question, how are we to address coworkers and neighbors who personally don't believe in transgenderism, but believe that the government shouldn't tell people what to do, shouldn't legislate morality. And that's where most Americans are at. And that view of government and that view of law has been the foot in the door that has legalized all sorts of sin. Abortion, gambling, prostitution, gay marriage, transgenderism. And since most people get their view of right and wrong from what the state legalizes or calls illegal, once legalized by the state, people believe that these behaviors must be morally acceptable. Well, the answer is that the state is called of God to answer to God's higher authority. Romans chapter 13, the state is to be an avenger who brings wrath on the one who practices evil, and evil is to be defined by the law of God. We're not asking the state to be the church, we're asking the state to be the state. The state has a responsibility before God to regulate the natural laws of gender and marriage given in the book of Genesis. Furthermore, we are our brother's keeper, Genesis chapter 4, verse 9, and Romans chapter 14, no man lives to himself and no man dies to himself. So when judgment falls on the ungodly for their sin, it falls upon the entire nation. There's corporate responsibility. And corporate responsibility and corporate judgment is one of the unspoken driving forces behind Christian political activism, that we're personally responsible to stop national sin. And all the Old Testament prophets, Elijah, Elisha, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, John the Baptist, and even Christ himself, operated on the principle that God's people are responsible to turn people from their sin, even to appeal to the state to enact righteous laws. Now, when it comes to, you know, talking to our neighbors and our coworkers about all this, we probably won't get enough of a hearing to explain all this. But the line that says it all, and what we should share, is that the sin of Sodom that brought down the judgment of God upon the people was not necessarily homosexuality, but the public's acceptance of homosexuality. My point is this. You know, read behind the polls. 60% of Americans are not truly morally opposed to LGBTQ. It's more like 10%. And that 10% tend to be true Christians who are getting their moral compass from the Word of God. You know, after the Budweiser transgender ad, sales went down 21%. Some report 26%. Today I read in Fox News that was only 12.5%. But it wasn't 90%, it wasn't 70%, it wasn't even 40%. It was below 20%. You know, it's true that the left was taken back by the Bud Light blowback. Certainly those in the marketing department who, you know, live in the bubble of their own leftist friends didn't expect any negative response. But for the left, this is really nothing to be too much concerned about. It's only less than 20% of Bud Light consumers that, you know, care enough about the issue to boycott Budweiser. Michael Knowles over at the Daily Wire did a report about the European parent company of Budweiser, InBev. And the company is all in on leftism, on Marxism, the World Economic Forum, social governance, ESG, and DEI. This temporary boycott is not going to convert the corporate management. They're just going to go undercover for a little while. Here's a picture of some California legislators tweeting out a picture holding Budweiser, supporting transgenderism. And in that picture includes Adam Schiff. And if 21 or 26% are not supporting Budweiser over the promotion of transgenderism, notice that 74% are. And the LGBTQ lobby is going to use this Budweiser event to raise money, to make the case that they're victimized and marginalized, and this is why they need to get into public schools to re-educate the next generation into accepting gender choice and transgenderism. Back in 1996, only 27% of Americans supported homosexual marriage. Now in 2023, 25 years later, 70% support homosexual marriage. And the left believes that over the next few years, the same is going to happen with transgenderism and gender choice. The left has the wind at their back. Every year they're going to be gaining some new percentage points because most of the public is not getting their morals from the Word of God, but from movies and television. And that shouldn't depress us, because in a short time we know that God will reestablish his authority and his truth. God is simply allowing sin to proliferate for a little while so that in a physical, tangible way, people will demonstrate which side they're on. And the culture war for us is an opportunity to help show people the issues of life, to practice Jude 22, to save some, snatching them out of the fire. Jude 22 and 23, have mercy on some who are doubting, save others, snatching them out of the fire. And on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. Bible study time. There are three interpretations to Jude 22 concerning this phrase, have mercy on some who are doubting. Literally in the Greek, have mercy on some, discerning or judging. Dikrino, the typical New Testament word for judging. The New American Standard takes this to mean that some people, to whom we ought to be merciful, are still questioning or judging the rightness or the wrongness of the immorality of the ungodly sodomites described in the previous verses. So the New American Standard Bible translates the text, have mercy on those who are doubting or questioning. But the questioning is not, as it's said today, questioning their gender, but questioning the whole transgender narrative. The King James Version translates the text, and on some have compassion making a difference. The word dikrino means to separate or to make a division. And so the King James translators thought this might mean that by having compassion on some, one can make a separation in the world. Or rather, as we would say today, make a difference. The third translation is the New King James Version. On some have compassion, making a distinction. And that translation is more literal and makes the point that the person who is doing the evangelism needs to have discernment concerning who to have mercy on. As it goes on to say in verse 23, who are the some that you can pluck out of the fire? So one translation is that the people you are evangelizing are those open, teachable, asking questions, discerning. The second translation is that by showing mercy and evangelizing, you're making a difference in the world. And the third possible translation is that the evangelist himself must show or have discernment, discerning who to have mercy on. Now, unfortunately, when presenting these possible translations in a church setting, or any possible translation, inevitably some people will say that the right translation is the one that they like, the one that fits what they personally identify with, the translation that they can use, kind of like the pastor who gives the translation that best fits the point he's trying to make in his sermon. But that's not right. We shouldn't fit the scripture to what we want to say, because it doesn't matter what we like or what we think the text ought to mean, but what matters is what the grammar supports. And in the Jude 22 case, given the use and the meaning of the word dikrino, the text is saying, have mercy on some and show discernment concerning those you should have mercy on. And this brings up a final point here. One group that we should have mercy on are those affected by the social contagion of transgenderism. And this is probably a new term for many, but social contagion simply means peer pressure. But not just pressure from peers, but pressure from the entire culture. And in the context of adolescence and transgenderism, what studies are showing is that this huge outbreak of young people claiming to be transgender is happening because of social contagion. Young people with emotional problems, and what young person going through puberty doesn't have an avalanche of emotional problems? But these young people go onto the internet and learn from social media and articles and transgender influencers and even from their public school sex ed classes that their emotional problems might be due to the fact that they're transgender, that their bodies don't agree with their real inner gender. And this social contagion, what we would call social indoctrination, is what's causing so many young people to come out as transgender. Young people are easily influenced, and that's why Marxists always target the youth, and why leftist professors have such an influence on freshman students. Luke chapter 6, verse 40, a pupil is not above his teacher, but everyone after he has been fully trained will be like his teacher. And biblically, social contagion is simply the influence of false teachers. This is what's meant in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. The word company here in the Greek is the word homilia, from where we get the word homily or sermon. The verse is actually saying evil conversation or teaching will corrupt good morals. And this indoctrination is child abuse. 2 Peter chapter 2, these transgender ideologues, by speaking out arrogant words of vanity, by enticing by fleshly desire, by sensuality, promise their students freedom, while they themselves, the teachers, are slaves of corruption, and the last state of their students will become worse for them than the first, by listening to these false teachers. And when these young people grow up, having their bodies castrated and mutilated, many will realize that they have been deceived by these teachers of transgenderism. As far as Jude 22 is concerned, and as far as showing discernment is concerned, these children are certainly those upon whom we must show mercy, plucking them out of the fire. That the explosion of transgenderism as a social contagion made headlines by a study done by Lisa Littman, a professor at Brown University. The study came out in 2018, and she coined the term rapid onset gender dysphoria to describe how so many young people were suddenly claiming to be transgender. And what she found was that these young people all had other emotional difficulties and were in crisis situations. And claiming to be transgender was a way to cope, a way to gain attention, a way to control others, a way to find authority and power. From a biblical perspective, we would say that's just another way for a young person to show rebellion, to play the victim card, to lash out, or even just to reach out. Littman's study was at first well-respected and received by her colleagues, but then the LGBTQ community got a hold of it, and they went all in against Brown University and Dr. Littman. And Brown University, being an extremely leftist and humanist university, renounced the study, and Dr. Littman had to leave her teaching position at Brown. This just goes to show how much influence the LGBTQ lobby has over American intellectuals and American universities. Here's an article from NBC News citing a study that allegedly debunks Lisa Littman's study entitled Social Contagion Isn't Causing More Youth to Be Transgender study finds. And if you look into the study, it was done by Jack Turbin, a radical homosexual activist in San Francisco who specializes in medically transitioning children. There have been calls for his medical license to be revoked because he sees nothing wrong with these drugs being prescribed to these children. If you go to Wikipedia and look up Dr. Lippman and her study, Wikipedia references the Human Rights Campaign, quote, opponents of trans people specifically use junk science by Lisa Lippman at Brown University to falsely claim that access to social media and the internet has created a contagion that causes many young people to mistakenly identify as transgender. Well, Lippman's study is not junk science. Just recently, a new study by Michael Bailey at Northwestern confirms the research done by Dr. Lippman that rapid onset of gender dysphoria is caused by social contagion. And if you want to look into this, Megan Bashan, who writes for World Magazine and The Daily Wire, explains all this in an article. But regardless of the facts, the LGBTQ community cannot accept the reality of social contagion because, according to the worldview, many people are actually transgender. They're living in bodies that do not conform to their real inner gender, and they believe that gender should be a choice. It's an atheistic evolutionary worldview that what is natural may be a mistake, and that man ought to follow his own desires, that men are autonomous beings, and there's no God and there's no law from God, so we should be able to do what we desire. Notice how people interpret all of the data in the light of their previously chosen ideology. And in this case, that the explosion of young people coming out as transgender can't be because of social contagion, because this is the way people really are. And hence, their real identity has been suppressed by made-up Christian morals. Transgender ideologues believe that Christianity has been fostered on society by a social contagion that is not natural to man. And it's the social contagion of Christianity that actually must be overturned. Listen to this statement from the Transgender Manifesto, written by a leading transgender activist, Ian Malone. Quote, the rejection of your identity by your pastor or your parents is not a rejection of you, the person, only you as the image someone else wants you to be. That image will never make you happy. So do you see the point? Happiness doesn't come by conforming to God's standard, but by following your own desires. But our own desires, Christ taught, are sinful. Matthew 15, out of the heart of man comes evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, slanders. These are the things that defile a man. Christ taught that who we are is not necessarily right. Here's another quote from the Transgender Manifesto. The conservative ideologue sees LGBTQ rights as an affront to the traditional way of life. For some reason, we're attacked as phonies, pretenders, even perverts, just for being who we are. There are people who wish for us to go back into the shadows, the closets, never to return. Many of these people who wish to deny our very legitimacy, who denounce us as mentally ill deviants, spend an hour each week paying homage to an ever-present, yet non-interventionalist, man in the sky. They go to courts across the land to defend their right to praise that uncorroborated deity at the expense of other people's civil liberties. To them, we the living, the transgender people who walk the earth, are fake, but the man up there, he is real. Unquote, Ian Thomas Malone, The Transgender Manifesto. So God is the non-interventionalist man in the sky. In other words, he doesn't interfere in the affairs of man. And God is uncorroborated, meaning not supported by evidence, not legitimate. The title of my program here is The Transgender Worldview. And what I want us to go away with is that it all comes down to a war against God. And this is how we must frame it in our conversation. This is unbelief, as the scriptures teach. And the Bible teaches that this unbelief is just not an intellectual issue. It's a moral issue. It's a moral choice issue. At this year's San Francisco Gay Pride Parade, the Grand Marshal will be Dean Snyder from the 1970 band Twisted Sister. The art reflects the heart. And the theme song for the Pride Parade this year will be the famous Twisted Sister song, We're Not Gonna Take It. The lyrics, we've got the right to choose, and there ain't no way we'll lose it. This is our life, this is our song. We'll fight the powers that be, don't pick our destiny, because you don't know us, you don't belong. We're not gonna take it, we're not gonna take it, we're not gonna take it anymore. And this song is known in the rock and roll genre as one of the quintessential songs of rebellion against the establishment, against morals, against God himself. The unsaved of this world really want to throw off the rule of God. And like Satan, they're not going to take it anymore. In this transgender movement, we're just seeing more evidence of what the Bible teaches about mankind being the enemy of God. You know, it's one thing to read about it in scripture. It's a whole other education when we see it in practice, when biblical truth is confirmed in real life. But as the book of Jude teaches, we're to keep ourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life, because this raw outbreak of rebellion against God is going to increasingly come to the surface. This is the 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, great rebellion that will usher in the man of lawlessness before the coming of the Lord. So the world is faced with two ways, two paths, two destinies, two worldviews. To either accept sinful self as good or to deny sinful self and say it's evil and turn to God. How do we know which way is right? By natural law? By our conscience, by the written word of the Lord, by the fruit you will know them. But ultimately, those who are Christ's sheep will hear his voice and follow him. In all of our discussion about transgenderism with our neighbors, our coworkers, let's just help people cut through the fog and get to the core issue concerning the authority of God and Christ. We'll pick up this subject again. There will be a Transgender Worldview Part 3. Thanks for listening. Thanks for your support. Subscribe, like, share, leave a comment below, and may Jesus Christ reign.